How are you all doing this morning? Welcome to those in the house and those online as well. It's great to be here and great that we're starting our new series. Just due to different circumstances, we've delayed starting it. But now that we're all around, it's good to get going. And over the next couple of weeks, myself and some of the elders are going to share on this Carpe Diem. Now, the big idea of Carpe Diem is born out of the elders' words and direction, encouragement from last week. Now, online and here, if you didn't listen to that last week, I suggest so you can catch up. You go home and listen to it so you can be abreast of where we're going. And the words that came were vitally important for us as a body of believers. We could see, if you looked, as I always say, look for the golden thread in it. You could see the golden thread of what the Holy Spirit was saying to us. And my sense for us for 2022 is a gear change. I hope I'm going to explain this enough for us. And God is wanting us to live as children of light. He wants us to be more than conquerors. He wants us no holding back. He wants us to earnestly seek Him. And these are all prophetic words that have been coming through over the last couple of the weeks and months. To seek Him and to be worshippers in spirit and in truth. To be followers of Christ who will seize the day. Carpe Diem. Now, I explained last time. I know some of you think, well, Carpe Diem really means eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But that's not the concept here. The concept of Carpe Diem is, don't worry about tomorrow because Jesus has already gone there and He's already taken care of it for us. And so we have to just seize and take hold of wherever He has us. And part and parcel of the series, you've heard me pray often and said when I've prayed, we want to uplift you, we want to encourage you, but we also want to challenge you. And so today, I'm going to throw out a couple of challenges today. Our jobs as elders is not always to preach what your itching ears want to hear. Can we have an amen? I'm confident. But we want to move forward in Christ, and we want to move on from 20 and 21. Who wants to be stuck in 21? Speaking of the Queen, I don't know how many years ago, once she stood up and she, in her speech, she said, it has been an annus horribilis, an annual horrible time. And I think 20 and 21 were annus horribilis. They were horrible times and affected us. Let's look at Ephesians 5:15, which says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Are you looking carefully how you're walking? Are you walking wisely? If you need wisdom, seek the Lord. If you want to be wise, walk with the wise. That's what Scripture says. Then it says, making the best use of the time. And I explain the time. There's Chronos time and there's Kairos time. The time is the Kairos time. We are in a Kairos moment. We live here on earth by Chronos, meaning the clock, chronological. 8 a.m. in the morning, 9 a.m., 10, and then we do things chronologically. But Kairos, the time, is God's time. It's out of time and order, and we want to walk in His time. Because the days are evil, therefore do not be foolish. Can I say, don't be stupid? Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And you know, the will of the Lord is always good for us. He's a good, good dad. And He always has the best plan for us. So to start off this week, I've entitled it simply, It's Green. It's Green. And what happened is I saw a picture of a train moving along the tracks. And you know, every time the train comes into the station, the doors open and people jump off and people jump on. But for the train to move, the green light's got to come on. That we can go. And it's good. We need the green light. And some have arrived at a station, and because you're curious, you've got off to have a look. And when the conductor has shouted, all aboard, you've gone, yeah, I'm still looking, and the train has moved and you've been left at the station. And I'm encouraging you, get on the train, get aboard. Some of you are living in a space where you're unsure. And you're going, man, I don't know what to do. I don't know where we're going. I don't know what's happening. You know, if you try and keep up with all the rules and regs that's going out there with us, it's a man-made task to try and do that. It's a mammoth task. You know, is it 14 days? Is it 10 days? Do we quarantine 5 days? Just so you know, we had our booster shot the other day, and then I was told, now, after you've had COVID, you're supposed to wait 2 months before you get your booster shot. Nobody told me that. I just went and got it. And so I'm just hoping I'm good. Yeah, I'm double, you know, triple. I got COVID, and I was quarantined, and anyway. Some of us are unsure. Some of you are unsure. You think you're happy, but there's no real joy in your life. Why? Because of fears, because of situations, because of events, may I say, because of personal choices that have interrupted your journey and caused you to doubt yourself, doubt your faith, doubt why you're even here. Doubt is an obstacle to you being the very best that God has made you to be. And He only makes the very best. I know I'm here. I don't know why, though. I have no idea. And you live with the lie, and you think, well, I'm just an accident. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Let me tell you, God has always had you on His mind. God has always. He even knows how many hairs you have on your head, the Scriptures teaches us. And He says that we have to learn. Think about this and say it with me if you want. I am created in God's image. I'm created in God's image. That makes me something special. That makes you something special. One of my hashtag hot tips. You're never going to be full of joy, not happy, joy or satisfied by doing things your own way. God has a life map that He's mapped out for you. And when we do life with Jesus, He will bring the satisfaction and He will bring the joy into our lives, no matter 20 or 21. It's green. It's time to seize the day. It's carpe diem. God has a plan for us. Jesus, our conductor, is calling all aboard. As your pastors, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to shout, all aboard. It's green. Carpe diem. The train is moving. Turn to someone and say, carpe diem. Seize the day. Okay, so there were some people over here. This side, yeah, you're not so sure yet. Some of you are stuck on red. You need a revelation that life is passing. You know that time waits for no man? Have you ever heard that? You know, I have this. This is mock theology. That if we are just standing still in God, we're actually going backwards. Because God is always moving. I mean, we sang it this morning or prophesied it this morning. God is on the move. You want to be on the move with God. You know, Jesus, the people came and said something to Jesus, and He said, yeah, no, I'm coming. I'm about my Father's business. Are we about our Father's business? Are we moving? Or are we just like, you know, in the army, we used to say, I can't even say it in English, state, kiddie pus. The South Africans will know what I just said. Means just mark time. That's the word. Just mark time. And sometimes we mark time, and if you look at an army that's marking time, it's going nowhere. It's just, yeah, we're marking time. And I'm encouraging you today, let's be on the move. We're trying to help you to realize it's green. It's 2022, and I know you all know that. The train is moving. Get on board. We want to make sure that we move forward, that we make the transitions, that we get that the transformation takes place in our life, that we start the new fires where we are, that we cross over and we don't get stuck at Gilgal. We move on, we get moving. Now in Luke 9, Jesus, if the analogy, Jesus is on his train, his journey train. He's doing ministry and life is... He's fulfilling his call, and he's inviting us into this journey. And I'm going to read it out of the message. Now, the message is sometimes not well translated biblically, but it is actually helps us in modern-day language to understand a little bit. So I'm going to read it out of the message, Luke 9, starting at verse 57. And this I've preached this passage before, and I call it Someday Disciples, because it's, well, read with me. On the road, someone asked if he could go along. I will go with you wherever he said. Jesus was curt. Are you ready to rough it? We're not staying in the best inns, you know. Now, I just had to stop and pause there. Jesus was curt. Do you know what the meaning of the word curt is? Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. It meant he was blunt. Meant he was a little bit snippy. Some might even go as far as to say he was rude. He said, you ready for some difficulties? Because some are always looking for the easy way out. What's the easy way out? How can I skip church? How can I not get involved? How can I not participate? How can I just come in and just go out? I told you I'm going to challenge you a little bit today. I love you. I'm your pastor. Okay, good. And then he said, you're looking for the... Some have used COVID as an excuse to just sit on your sofas at home. Now, I don't have to explain every statement I say. You have to hear my heart in this thing. Verse 59, Jesus said to another, follow me. He said, certainly, but first, excuse me for a couple of days, please. I have to make arrangements for my father's funeral. I want to, but I have something that's seemingly more valuable, because we have to understand what we are talking about here. We are talking about the kingdom. Why I can't, there's always an excuse of some sort, and we will make every kind of excuse why I have to make arrangements, I have to do something else. Things that stand in our way for us to move forward and not be the best that God has called us to be. Verse 60, Jesus refused. That's pretty straightforward. First things first, your business is life, not death. And life is urgent. Announce God's kingdom. We, as followers of Christ, need to be about our Father's kingdom. We are about, that's first and foremost. Verse 61, then another one said, I'm ready to follow you, Master, but first excuse me. While I get things straightened out at home. If that's your excuse, you've got the order back to front. It's my kingdom, what I'm building. It's my career, what I'm doing, how I feel. And actually, it's the other way around. Well, I came to church on Sunday morning, and now you expect me to come to a prayer meeting on Sunday night? Yeah, it's a biblical mandate. It's getting very quiet in here. I'm not cross, I'm not angry. It's part of my job. My job is not to make you feel good about yourselves all the time. It's to equip you for the work of the ministry. You go and read Ephesians. That's my job. If I could just get my life right, I could join a connect group. If I really got it right, man, I could actually lead one. Man, I could serve somewhere in the church. I could be part of the usher team. I could help make coffee so that we could all drink coffee together. You know, but once I've sorted my kids out, I just need to sort my kids out first. Then I could be useful to the kingdom. If I earned more money, then I could actually tithe. First, let me sort my life out. Please, Pastor, would you be so kind? Jesus, verse 62, said, no procrastination, no backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off till tomorrow. Seize the day. Still being curt. Stop wasting time. Don't look backwards. Stop putting off his kingdom. Carpe diem. Seize the day. It's green. Get on board. Now, some of you are going to get really mad at me, but that's okay. You can send your emails to Dom. I saw this quote by a Baptist pastor. As the church attendance numbers fade across the nations and online, service become very convenient. It's important to remember why church attendance for you and your family matters so much. You can't serve from your sofa. You can't have community of faith from your sofa. You can't experience the power of a room full of believers worshiping together from your sofa. Christians are not consumers. We are contributors. We don't watch, we engage. We give, we sacrifice, we encourage, we pray by laying hands on the hurting. We do life together. The church needs you, and you need the church. Jesus says, no procrastination. Stop looking backwards. Let's not look at 2020 and 21. You can't put God's kingdom on hold. You can't put it off till tomorrow. Seize the day. And you know, again, 20 and 21 and this pandemic have caused more division in families and churches and communities, etc., than anything else that I've experienced before. But there is some of 2021 that needs to be left behind in 2021. You can't carry it, or you shouldn't carry it into 2022 and think that we're going to get a different result. You know, we often want to make New Year's resolutions. I mean, if you were really brutally honest, how many made New Year's resolutions and carried them out? No, didn't think so. They're nice. They're exciting to make. I was just telling Bridget the other day, you know, that the Olympics are on again. As a bunch of kids in the neighborhood, when the Olympics ever were started or when they came on, one of the guys, a friend of ours, Dave, came from a family of six, three brothers and three daughters or three sisters. And he was a sports fanatic, and so we decided he would go up onto the road where we lived in our little crescent, the road curved, and he would take chalk and he would mark the road on the curve, so we had a curve like running around the track. And then he'd get all the neighborhood kids and we'll have our own Olympics in the streets on the road. And then we decided that wasn't good enough, and then because between the houses there was this expanse of bush, probably about the width of this church, and it was about overgrown bush. And so we decided we're going to make ourselves a soccer field and a rugby field and a cricket pitch, and we're going to put that all in this place. And it was a bank going down full of bush, and we're going to cut it out and make it level. And we did all that. However, to start it all, in our enthusiasm, how's the best way to get rid of bush? Burn it. Between houses. We were between the ages of 12 and 14. What did we know? We just thought we'd just burn the bush. Oh well, fire engines came and the fire department came, and our fire and our rear ends got heated, and we got our sports field though. And I don't even know why I told you all of that. But the point is that we have to leave some stuff behind and move forward. You know, some people say, what is done is done. You know, that's your past. You can't do anything about it. Just move on from it. And there is a modicum of truth in that. However, I believe that you can repent of your past. You can repair your past, and you can restore your past. And you can move it and leave it there. The great news is we're all set up for moving forward, crossing over. It means changing the way we do things, changing our methodology, changing our behavior. It's green, and some of you still don't get it. And I want to help you today. Philippians 3:13, brothers, Paul writing, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God and what is in Christ Jesus. And please, when I say move on, I'm not saying, okay, we'll just get over yourself and move on. No, no, there is a process. But Jesus can help us. So what can we let go of? And I'll just come up with three things that we can let go of to help us move forward and move on. Number one is let go of old history. You know, and I know probably if you're a foreigner and you came to this country, like us as a family, when we were in South Africa, we're not in South Africa, this is not South Africa, this is Canada. This is not Sri Lanka, it's not Italy, it's not England, it's not pick a place, it's Canada. So there is no when we. Because we come to inculcate ourselves into the culture and the peoples and the way things are done here. The bad history of life, your bad relationships, perhaps some of you in divorces, some losses, some have had great losses, some events. You know for yourself what it is when I'm talking about your old history. You can just think, well, yeah, no, there was all things that you have allowed to define you. Your history does not define you. It's our identity in Christ that defines us. Things that have hindered you, that have held you back. So I want to say, eradicate it from the hard drive of your life and let's move forward. Why? Because we can make new history in 2022. We can put it to bed, we can put it to the past, and we can move forward and move on in Christ Jesus. It doesn't have to be the way with the old history and the bad history. These things don't define you. Life cycles or history, if we are brutally honest, we will acknowledge that some history that I made was really unhelpful. If you're honest with yourself. And this, I'm not asking your neighbor to be honest with you. I'm asking you to be honest with you. I'm not even asking your spouse to be honest with you. You be honest with you. Isaiah 43:18 says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. But behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Get on board. It's green. Carpe diem. Carpe diem. Number two, let go of old habits. You've developed and taken on too much stuff in your life. You've developed addictions through it. Some of you are still addicted to your cell phone. You know that when we're up here, when we're preaching, we can see everything. And I can tell if you're taking notes or you're scrolling through your Facebook. And the pastor's preaching his guts out for you and you're scrolling. And then your phone buzzes next to you and you can't leave it alone for an hour and a half. You have to respond to it. Those are bad habits. Those are addictions. I want to encourage you today. Let the kingdom come first. Isaiah 58:6. Now they were talking about fasting and how they should fast and all that kind of stuff. And the Lord says to them through Isaiah, is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. You know what God is saying here to the people? He's saying here to them, if you want to fast the way that pleases me, begin with getting right with your fellow man. Get right with your brothers and sisters. Stop oppressing others and reaching out to oppress others. Get right with them first. Then you can come and fast. You know, before you bring your gift to the altar, make right with man, your brothers and sisters, and then come and make right with me. Getting right with God begins by stopping doing evil towards others, saying evil things about them, putting stupid stuff on Facebook. I know, trust me, I'm tempted sometimes to respond. But by the grace of God and His mercy upon my life, I don't. If you want to be wise, walk with the wise. Number three, let go of old hurts. When we carry hurts, we allow the person that hurt us, or the circumstance, or the situation to define us and have that narrative in our lives, instead of allowing Christ to have the narrative in our life. It defines us and learn who we are. We can choose to let go and to get on the train and be moving forward with God. People diss you, for the young people. For the older people, people gossip about you. They misunderstand you, your intentions and what you just said. They dishonor you. And they say or do something unkind to you. What are you going to do about it? Well, if you'll listen to me, forgive and let go. Because they are holding you captive. They were horrible to you, and then they just walk about telling everybody how wonderful they are. And you're going, how is this possible? Let it go. You cannot heal what you refuse to acknowledge. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Well, not maybe, possibly, could be. No, you are. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ Jesus reconciled us to himself. Now, that word reconciled means to bring to balance, which means there was a negative balance in your life. And what the Lord did, he came along and he reconciled that to you, and he brought that balance to zero. And what it is healing from the inside out, not so much healing from the outside in. But we will see that we do that as well. Some of you are still defined by your history and your habits and your hurts. And I want to encourage you to this day, it does not need to be like that. You can say, carpe diem, it's green. I'm on board the train, and Lord, I'm traveling with you. A little quote for us, I can't start the next chapter of my life if I keep rereading the last chapter. Well, what happened? What happened there? Well, let's just talk about that again. I think I said it last week. If you're talking more about the pandemic and COVID and this variant and that variant than you are about Jesus, you're already missing the point. We need to be talking about Jesus. The kingdom is first. So, a couple of ways. How do we seize the day? Jesus' way. Not how do I do it my way. Now, Jesus helps us to understand that in Matthew 4:17. It says, from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent means metanoia. It means change your mind and your direction. You got off the train, get back on the train. We need to understand that going forward into his ways and not into our own ways. The kingdom of heaven, it says, is at hand. Stop living according to your created kingdom. It's my kingdom and what I'm doing and how I'm going ahead. Where you are king, it's his kingdom and he is the king. We are his children. We are his subjects. We are his vassals. We are those that serve him and come before him. He is the king. Step out and allow of the throne and allow Christ to sit on your throne. Well, it's not convenient for me. Of course it's not. That's what Jesus said in the very beginning. Are you ready for some difficult stuff? We're not going to live in the most comfortable inns, you know. And then he says, at hand, or other versions say, the kingdom of heaven is near. It's right at hand. You know, that great old song, you've heard me say it before. He's not watching from a distance. He's right here. He's in this room with us, by his Spirit. He is near at hand. His kingdom of heaven is near at hand. Seize the day. So how are we going to do that? Seize the day, get closer to God. Well, that sounds so obvious. But I've been a Christian for 30 years. It's green. Get on board. Get closer to God. Run hard after Jesus. James 4:8 says, come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Outward, clean your hands, wash your hands. Inward, purify your hearts. Because your loyalties are divided. And I know it's uncomfortable wearing masks. I don't like wearing a mask. I know I get to preach and so I get to take mine off. But that's where we are right now. A little bit of patience, a little bit of perseverance, a little bit of time. You go, what? It's like nearly 2 years. Yeah, I know in God's economy that's a little bit. Difference between an old covenant and a new covenant. When Moses came, he said, Moses, don't come any nearer. Stay where you are. New covenant, he said, draw close to me and I'll draw close to you. Why? Because in the new covenant, the ground between us and God is sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. He's inviting us to draw near. He's offering us a place in his throne room with him. Drawing near to God helps us to resist the devil. Drawing near to God helps us to become pure. Drawing near to God helps us in our sorrow of sin. Drawing near to God helps us speak well of other people. Drawing near to God helps us think of eternal things. Not, well, it's just about me and where I'm at. Little quote for us, if I want something I've never had, then I need to do something I've never done. I know we've heard that said a different way. If I could just be honest, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here, some of you need to start simply by just showing up. What would my life look like if I came to 52 weeks of Sunday services, of family gatherings? Better. What would my life look like if I attended the prayer meetings? Better. What would my life look like if I participated in a connect group? Better. What would my life look like if I served the body of Christ? Better. How can you say all that stuff? Because God has a great purpose and plan and vision and passion for our lives. Number two, seize the day, get honest with a friend. Oh, now you're meddling with me, Mark. James 5:16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. You need, not should have or want, you need some accountability in your life. And it goes for all of us. Let me just say this. When I prepare this stuff, I'm not like, well, that I'm going to tell them, boy. I'm going, whoa, Lord, you're challenging me now. How am I doing in this one? You know, I'm the one who's challenged first. And then after the words are out of my mouth and fall into the ground or taken fertile soil, I will be tested on them. I've proven that over 25 years or whatever of preaching. Gathering together, truthfully, most of you will never get there on your own. No, well, I can do it on my own. That's how most men think. How's it working out for you? Is your spiritual life increasing? Is the glory of the Lord upon you daily? Are you going from one degree of glory to the other? Carpe diem. Gathering together in prayer and services and connect groups. Do you know those are biblical mandates? They're not just like, well, the elders, geez, how can we mess up the people's lives in the church? No, they're biblical mandates. How are you doing with following that biblical mandate? Are you carpe diem? Are you seizing the day? Little quote for us, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go with other people. Number three, we're nearly done, because I know it's very quiet in here. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
There we go. Okay. I know you're taking notes, right? Number three, seize the day, get in tune with your passion and your purpose, or your purpose and passion. Some continually pursue purpose and passion that's not God ordained. Well, I like what Dom's doing over there. I'm going to pursue that. Well, I like what Cherie is doing. I'm going to follow that. No, no. What is God saying to you? What is the purpose and the passion that God has given you? Are you pursuing that? Are we doing where Jesus, we sing, Jesus at the center of it all, but not in this area, Lord. You sought someone else's prayer and you've tried to make it your own. The result is that you're frustrated. And you're maybe even bored. And we're going to get to that next point. Galatians 6:3. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. Sometimes when I preach, people come and say, oh, so-and-so should have heard that word. I'm going, no, it was for you. Someone should have heard that. I say, well, how about you? How'd you do? Yeah, and then they tell me something I said, and then I go back and check my notes, and I didn't say that at all. I'm like, where were they? Oh, I remember. Take a good look at yourself. Test yourself from the inside out. Don't go through life. Grow through life. Number four, seize the day. Do something greater than yourself. Ephesians 2:10 helps us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Well, I'm bored. I'm frustrated. Do something greater than yourself. Think outside the box. Remember the old thing? What if there is no box? How are we going to do this? How are we going to think outside the box? How am I going to do something greater? Find someone who's more needy than you are and go and speak into their lives and help them to grow. Remember, we started this whole thing and why we do the mask thing and why we behave. We're doing it not for me, we're doing it for we. Real joy doesn't come from making money. Yeah, but you don't understand. If I had more money, I'd be so much happier. Really? That sounds like, well, if I earn more money, then I'll tithe. It doesn't come from sunny or snowy days. Well, for Bridget sometimes, for snowy days. Doesn't come from great politics or having good neighbors. Real joy comes from fulfilling God's ordained purposes and passions in your life. When you can sit back and have a look and go, man, that was a great day. What did you do? Well, I don't know. I was going to the shop and I saw a person there and I was standing in the counter and then the Lord just said to me, pay for that person's groceries. And I said, what? And the Lord said to me again, pay for the person. And I paid for the person's groceries and they just broke down and they started to weep there. And then they were standing there and then I told them, Jesus told me to do it and I did it for Jesus. And they said, oh, that's wonderful. I've never had kindness like that ever. Finding someone's need greater than yours. Was then I saw this person limping along and the Lord said to me, go and lay hands and then pray for them. I said, what? He said, yeah, you heard me. Okay. I went, lay hands on them. True story. Lay hands on their knee and prayed for them and under my hand I felt the knee pop. Boom. They went, oh, did you feel that? I said, yeah, I did. I said, how's your knee? Knee's perfect. The pain's gone. I can walk. That's joy. Comes from our inner man knowing we are on God's journey. We're on God's train. Little quote, If I dedicate my life to something greater than myself, God will fill my life with passion and adventure. You want an adventure? Get on God's train. This is where real joy is found. Now, just so we're clear, I acknowledge that people are grieving and hurting over history, over habits, over hurts, over broken relationships, over situations, events in your life. And to be honest, if I know it, I grieve with you. But today is an opportunity to carpe diem. Today is an opportunity to seize the day. Today is an opportunity to say, that was 20 and 21, this is 22. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to draw closer to God. I'm actually going to draw nearer to Him. I'm going to eradicate my hard drive where there's history and hurts and habits that are not of God. You've jumped off at a station, the light is green, the train is moving, the Jesus, our conductor, is shouting, all aboard. It's time to reconnect with the train. For some of you, it's like sitting in a traffic light. Now, because we're not allowed to, I know no one does, sits at a traffic light and... But you're so intent on the rearview mirror, and you're so intent looking in the rearview mirror and what's behind you, that the light changes and then someone behind you's got to go, dee, dee. Or if they're really irritated, dee. But you're still like mesmerized with the rearview mirror. I want to say, stop looking in the rearview mirror. Look ahead for what God has got for you. Let the days of the past be the days of the past. Allow Christ to be king of your life, king of His kingdom. If it needs be, step aside and give Him His rightful place, His throne of your life. It's not about you, it's about Him and the price that He paid. And we walk in the beauty of the covenant that Father and Son cut, that we can walk in that, and we can walk in the gloriousness of His grace. Let's stand together, please. Father, we come to you today, Lord God, and we say, and if you really mean it, you can say, carpe diem. Lord, I want to seize the day. Father, there are history, there is history and hurts and habits in my life that I acknowledge today that I perhaps didn't even think about. But Lord, Holy Spirit, that you've highlighted that to me, I set that aside. Look, I want that peace that you spoke about earlier in the meeting, Lord. I want the joy of the Lord that would be my strength. I want to live and do something greater beyond myself, Lord. I want to light a fire that I never thought I could fire light. I want to see transformation in my life, Lord. I choose today to carpe diem, to transition over. I want to see, Lord God, that your hand is upon my life and I put your kingdom first. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Amen.